This recording is a reading of Benjamin Keach from him. He was a Reformed Baptist pastor in the 1600s in England. And he was one of the signers as well of the Second London Baptist Confession. But this is from his work called Tropologia, A Key to Open Scripture Metaphors, Book 4. It was published by William Collingridge, City Press in London in 1855. And it's on page 846 through 849. And it's talking about a metaphor from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. And this is what he writes. According to the grace of God, which is given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, etc. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. A builder is a metaphor taken from carpenters and masons, etc., that build houses. The Hebrew word by which building is expressed is derived from the root to build or rear an house or city. God in Christ is the chief master builder. Quote, he that built all things is God, unquote. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4. And he is the great builder of his temple. Quote, upon this rock I will build my church, etc. And yet ministers under him are likewise master builders, etc. Number one, a metaphor. A wise master builder gives direction to others how the house, etc., must be built, and to this purpose shows the figure or true form of it, that so other underbuilders may know how to go on with their work. In this metaphor, he describes the parallel as this, for the first metaphor. So St. Paul and other great and wise master builders, the apostles, have given plain directions to us, and all inferior builders, how the house of God must be built, and with what materials. And they have left in the Holy Gospel a plain scheme to figure of it, that so all spiritual builders may know how to proceed in their work. Metaphor number two from this passage. A master builder takes special care rightly to lay the foundation upon which the whole fabric or structure is to be built, etc. Here's the parallel of that metaphor, number two. So the apostles have, as instruments in God's hand, laid the foundation of the true religion, the foundation of faith and salvation, the foundation of the true church, etc. Quote, another foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, unquote. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Metaphor number three, a builder hath sometimes much rubbish to remove before he can go on with his work, as the poor Jews had who built the temple, etc. And then the parallel to that metaphor number three, so have ministers much rubbish to remove out of their own and sinners' way before they can proceed in their blessed work. There is the rubbish of false doctrine about justification. This was in the apostles' way, as well as it is in ours. The Jews were hardly taken off from their own righteousness and legal ceremonies. They would need build upon a legal foundation. Quote, they stumbled at the stumbling stone, etc., unquote. We have much popish rubbish to remove, the rubbish of men's inventions and superstitious ceremonies, etc., besides the rubbish of other heretics and deceivers. Metaphor number four. A builder oftentimes meets with hard work in hewing and squaring his timber and stones, some being very rugged and knotty, etc. The parallel to that aspect of this metaphor, number four, is this. So ministers find some sinners are very stubborn and obstinate, like knotty timber, scragged and rugged stones, which, without much labor and pains, are not hewed and fitted for the building. Metaphor number five. A wise builder takes care to prepare and make all his materials ready before he rises the structure or builds his house. Parallel number five to that metaphor. So should a minister of the gospel see that all the spiritual stones and timber be well squared, fitted, and prepared by a thorough work of repentance and faith, before they are placed and laid into the building or church of God. Quote, prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and then build thy house. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 27. They must not lay stones in the building as they come out of the quarry from whence they are rigged. such persons as were never converted, nor capable subjects of it, and then afterwards, when they are put into God's house, go about to hew them by the word. In other words, endeavor to convert them. Ministers are hewers, and the axe is the word of God. Quote, I have hewed them by the prophets, unquote. But they must proceed orderly. In other words, not baptize and then teach, but first teach or make disciples and then baptize them. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. The sixth aspect of this metaphor is this. A builder can tell how many principal pillars or posts belong unto the house or building, and sees to fit all the materials thereof in their proper place, and will be sure to see that he wants never a principal pillar. Number six, the parallel to that aspect of the metaphor is this. So ministers can tell how many fundamental principles there are of the Christian religion. I mean principles necessary to salvation, and also the number of the foundations of church constitution and fellowship, and will see that everything they do be done orderly, everything fitted according to the directions of God's word, and that they want not any one of the foundation principles of the Christian religion. It is dangerous, you know, if a house be to be built upon six main pillars, if it want one or lacks one. Read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. The seventh aspect of this metaphor is this. A builder has his rule by which he doth all his work. He does not work by guess, nor by the sight of his own eye only, but by a certain and unerring rule. The parallel to this seventh aspect is this. So a wise minister hath his rule, viz. The word of God. He doth not do what he thinks is right in his own eyes until he hath tried it by the rule, nor will he follow the humor and fancy of others, who may say this is right and that is right, but according as he finds things to agree or disagree with the Holy Scriptures and Spirit of God, that unerring rule by which he receives or rejects, takes or leaves, he, with Moses, will do all things according to the pattern showed in the mount. Quote, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the whole Israel of God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 16. The word of God should be our guide in all things. Number eighth aspect of the metaphor. A wise builder takes care that all the building be fitly framed together and well fastened to the foundation. The eighth parallel to this eighth aspect of the metaphor is this. So a wise minister or spiritual builder endeavors to see that all the saints be united, fitly framed, or joined together in love, and well fastened by faith and love to Jesus Christ. See what the apostle saith, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, quote, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building being fitly framed together groweth to an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The ninth aspect of this metaphor is this. A builder takes great care to give directions about the door or way into the house he is building, and makes it plain that all people who have a mind or ought to enter in may readily find the way and not stumble at the threshold. The ninth parallel to this metaphor is this. So a wise and faithful minister takes special care to give directions about the door into God's house, that all whom Christ would have enter in may not be at a loss about it, nor stumble, as it were, at the threshold. It is absolutely necessary that they are acquainted with and able to show to others what are those initiating ordinances into the house or church of God, and sad it is to see so many worthy ministers among us at so great a loss in this respect. It is demonstrated in a small treatise written by Mr. William Kiffin entitled A Sober Discourse of Right to Church Communion. It has always been asserted by Christians of all persuasions till of late that baptism in water, that holy sacrament Christ ordained and left in his church, is absolutely necessary to church fellowship and communion. Though touching the subject and manner of the administration of that ordinance, there hath been much controversy, But sure I am, the word of God is very full and plain in this case. First, the Lord Jesus hath positively enjoined repentance, faith, and baptism to be taught as the first principles of his sacred doctrine and as fundamentals of church communion and fellowship. See Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, and Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Second, this also was the door the holy apostles, whose wise master builders directed persons to, and opened for entrance in the primitive time. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, etc. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls, in Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 41. Compare this with Acts chapter 8, verse 38, and Acts chapter 16, verse 33, and Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. And hence it is said, by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, or to be of one body. Moreover, as it is in the above-cited treatise proved upon the examination of the records of the next age after the apostles, it is evident the same order was retained and kept up, as appears by Justin Martyr in his apology to Antoninus Pius, the Roman emperor. Quote, "This food, saith he, we call the Eucharist, or the Lord's Supper, to which no man is admitted but only he that believeth in the truth of the doctrine, being washed in the laver of regeneration," so he called baptism, "for the remission of sins, and that so liveth as Christ hath taught," unquote. Tertullian and Cyprian positively affirm the same, and divers others of the ancient fathers, as Basil, Nazianzen, Optatus, Athanatus, Epiphanius, Hilarius, Ambrose, Jerome, Sozomen, Athanasius, Augustine, etc., as is largely showed by the divines of Magdeburg in their History of the Church printed at Basel in 1624. Also, all our modern divines fully agree with the ancients in this great point, viz. That baptism is absolutely an initiating ordinance, and that no unbaptized person ought to be admitted into the church, nor the Lord's Supper, though it is confessed that some do not say that baptism alone is the door into the church, but baptism and imposition of hands. Quote, "There are two doors to be passed through, saith a learned writer, before we come adidas et intima ecclesiae penetralia, viz. Baptism and laying on of hands, whereof the latter properly and immediately gives admittance." Mr. Hanmores cites some ancient Christians speaking thus, "Confirmatio sive manum impositio prytinis dat jus communicandi in sacramento corporis as sanguinis Christi." And then he gives the translation of the Latin of that. It says this, that is, "Confirmation or imposition of hands forthwith given giveth full authority and right of communion in the body and blood of Christ," unquote. And in another place saith the same person, quote, "He that was not confirmed was not admitted to the Eucharist," or the Lord's Supper, unquote. The tenth metaphor for this metaphor here, tenth aspect of the metaphor is this: a master builder goes on with his work when the foundation is laid. The scaffolds are not taken down till the building be finished, but rather raised higher and higher as the fabric goes up. He resolves every day's work shall add some further beauty to it in order to the final perfecting of it. And this is the tenth parallel to the tenth aspect of this metaphor. So a true faithful minister, when he sees the work of God's house going on, everyone laboring diligently every day to be more and more holy and pressing on towards perfection, quote, "not laying again the foundation," unquote, etc., or, quote, "let us go on to perfection and so grow up unto him in all things who is the head," unquote. This is Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Gospel builders are, quote, "for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man," unquote, etc. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. And this is the next section of this metaphor. So, earthly builders build with ordinary wood, sticks, brick, etc., lifeless and dead materials. Also, they build houses for men or mortal creatures only, which may be soon destroyed by an enemy. And the disparity for the metaphor is this: but the spiritual builders build the house of God with precious stones, not earthly, but heavenly, not dead, but living. Quote, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and not for man, but an house or habitation for God through the Spirit, unquote. A house that the gates of hell shall never prevail against. Disparities are also here omitted and left to be enlarged by the studious reader. And then he has five inferences at the very end of this section, and he writes this. Number one, this may inform all that look upon themselves to be spiritual builders to take heed they do not refuse the chief cornerstone, as the Jewish builders did. Remember, the foundation is laid, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, the second inference. It may caution them to take heed they build with fit materials, not with wood, hay, and stubble, but gold, silver, and precious stones. The third inference. It may caution them to take heed they build according to the rule. Let them not mistake the rule. The Pope or Church of Rome is not the rule. General councils are not the rule. The light within is not the rule. The word of God is the only rule by which these builders of God's house must do all their work. The fourth inference is this. It may caution them to take heed they do not make any other doors into the church than what Jesus Christ hath made. The door that let in into the natural church of the Jews is shut up by him that hath the keys of David. Birth privileges will not give a right to church membership under the gospel. Quote, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, unquote, etc. And then the fifth and last inference is this. It may caution them to take heed they do not leave out of the building any principal pillar, lest their building prove defective and stand not long. It is a fearful thing to alter, add to, or diminish from the word of God. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. Again, this is Benjamin Keach. He was a Reformed Baptist pastor in the 1600s in England. He was one of the signers of the Second London Baptist Confession. He wrote the Baptist Catechism as well. And this is from his work, Tropologia, A Key to Open Scripture Metaphors, published. This is from a work that was published in 1855. I think that he wrote it, obviously, much earlier than that. But the 1855 William Hill Collingridge City Press edition, pages 846 through 49.